Jaum Mishnapad Paramahansa Parivasikacharya Saratatashi Shimahari Swami Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Jai. Jaum Mishnapad Paramahansa Parivasikacharya Saratatashi Shimahari Swami Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai. Namacharya Shidhari Das Thakur Jai. Prince Koti Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakti Viniki Jai. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru Shri Garanga. Today, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 12, text number 2. We did one yesterday. Akura did one yesterday. Today is two. That's for tomorrow. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya Vesya Mano Yemam. Nitya Yukta Upasate. Shradaya parayopetas temi yukta tamamataha Hri Bhagavan uvacha maya vishyamano yemam nitya yukta upasate shradaya parayopetas Temi yukta tamamataha Shri Bhagavan uvacha Maya vishyamano yemam Nitya yukta upasate Shradaya parayopetas Temi yukta tamamataha Maya Vishyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shradaya Parayopetas Temi Yukta Tamamataha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Manyo Vishyamano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Sharadaya parayopetas Temi yukta tamamataha Tri Bhagavan uvacha Maya vishyamano yemam Nitya yukta upasate Sharadaya parayopetas Temi yukta tamamataha Tri Bhagavan uvacha Maya vishyamano yemam Nitya yukta upasate Shradaya parayopetas Temi yukta tamamataha Shri Bhagavan uvacha The Supreme Personality of God had said Mayi Upon me, aveshya, fixing, mana, the mind, ye, those who, mam, me, nitya, always, yukta, engaged, upasate, worship, shradaya,
with faith, paraya, transcendental, upeta, endowed, te, they, me, by me, yuktatama, most perfect in yoga, mata, are considered. The Supreme Personality of God had said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worship him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one, in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities, because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometime he chants, sometime he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometime he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometime he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. Maya Vishamano Yamam Nitya Yukta Upashate Sharaya Parayopetas Teme Yukta Tamamataha. The Supreme Personality of God has said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So this is in response to Arjuna asking the question, which one is better, those who fix their mind on the impersonal Brahman or those who engage in your devotional service? Which one is better? And Krishna says, those who fix their mind on me are better. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Cham Chalam Imana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. I don't remember the rest, but basically it says that the mind, because Arjuna says to Krishna, Arjuna tells Krishna that to control the mind is very difficult because the mind is always restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, and to subdue it, for me, it appears to be more difficult than controlling the wind. So we have all have experienced that our mind is very shifty, you know. Like sometimes it's in ecstasy and sometimes in depression, you know. Like in the same day. The mind is always influenced by the different modes of nature, and it's influenced by our false identification with our material body. And these things are very, very hard to shake off. So if the mind is so difficult to control, Krishna suggests that you try to fix your mind on me. That'll be the easiest way to control your mind, fix it on me. So, why? Because Krishna means the highest pleasure. So we want to give pleasure to our mind. You know? Like we're always looking for pleasure all the time. We're pleasure seeking living entities. We're always looking for pleasure. So, but Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. So if we put our mind on Krishna, then we'll get this higher pleasure. We'll get it, you know, in different forms. Like today we went on book distribution. It was very pleasurable for the mind, right? Sometimes it's not pleasurable because our mind doesn't want to do it. But sometimes it becomes pleasant because it's pleasing Krishna. So therefore, we become pleased. So if we want to control our mind, we have to give mind transcendental pleasure. That's the way to do it. Otherwise, if we don't give our mind varieties of transcendental pleasure, we're going to look for varieties of material pleasures. There's no in-between. It's either one or the other. So Maya this is Krishna and this is Maya. Side by side, all the time. So, therefore, Krishna says, engage yourself in my devotional service, and in this way you'll be able to control your mind. No, Krishna also says that after Arjuna says that, he says, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I agree with you. The mind is very difficult to control and very restless. I agree with that. But you should... All right. Wow. Getting embarrassed. So, by constant practice and detachment, you can control your mind. So, we have to practice constantly. And we have to try to become detached from sense enjoyment. So, to try to become detached from sense enjoyment, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. That's how we become detached from sense enjoyment. And constant practice means daily worship, chanting, japa, everything that we do. Constant work, constant practice. Why? Because until we get into an advanced stage where we're spontaneously attracted to Krishna, until we get there, before we get there, we have to practice all the time. Because our mind will always want to go away somewhere. And we always have to bring it back. Krishna says, wherever your mind goes, wherever your mind goes away, you have to bring it back under the control of the self. So that's practicing, you know. We're practicing. So that's the idea. And sometimes we measure ourselves by what we don't have. Oh, I don't have love of God. I don't have full sense control. I don't have, you know, a great taste for devotional service. We calculate in terms of what we don't have, but also we can calculate, we evaluate ourselves in what do we have, right? It's better to calculate or evaluate ourselves, but what do we have? Like if somebody's been 5 years in a movement or 10 years or 20 years, that means he's been doing this for 10, 20 years. Like he's been controlling his mind for 10, 20 years, been serving Krishna for 20 years, he's been wrestling with his mind and senses for 20 years. So he did that already. So we cannot always evaluate ourselves by what we don't have, but we have to appreciate what we did already, right? We did a lot already. You know, if we follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, that's a great accomplishment. It's not easy in Kali Yuga to do that. So anybody who is serving Krishna and Krishna consciousness is actually already doing that. And sometimes we may complain, oh yeah, I listen too much to my mind and my mind is always a mess, you know. But also, we are controlling our mind also. We are tolerating. When the mind is a mess, we know what we're going to do. We're going to tolerate it, right? You know, like when we're not happy or when we face some difficulty and we're insecure about our Krishna consciousness, what do? Well, we just tolerate it. You know, we just tolerate whatever is happening and we keep on chanting Hare Krishna and then we go on the other side of it. So it's not like we don't know what to do. You know, it's not like we're stupid or something. You know? We're already practicing Krishna consciousness. We're already trying to control our mind. We're already being tolerant. We're already doing all these things. So we have to appreciate what we're already doing instead of being despondent about what we're not doing. That will help. So like that, we have to encourage ourselves. Like, we don't want to discourage ourselves, right? Because the mind might want to do that, you know, discourage ourselves. The mind, Krishna says, the mind is the worst friend, the best friend, or the worst enemy. It depends. If we let it go, we let it loose, then it's the worst enemy. If we control it, then it's the best friend. So, because Our mind is the repository or the reservoir of all of our past experience and our past attachment in previous life because of all the accumulated effect of what we did in our past life gets carried into this life. We get a certain type of mind. We have a certain type of mind. And the mind is conditioned by our past experience, and we have to deal with this mind. Sometimes you'll see that we have aversion and attraction, right? We're attracted to some things in this material world, and some other thing repulses us. And then in another person, it'll be the opposite. Like, you'll be repulsed by the thing we're attracted, and you'll be attracted by the thing we're repulsed, because the conditioning is different. Sometimes you see that by living with devotees, you get relief from your mind because the fears that you have about yourself and your mind will not be there in another devotee. He won't see things the same way you do. He sees things differently. The same thing, he will see it differently. And for you, one thing may be a disaster, and for him, it's nothing. You know, next two events, the same event happened to two people. One take it very seriously, and the other one doesn't care. It's because our mind is differently conditioned like that. So by associating with devotees and revealing our mind to personal friend, we get relief. We get, you know, like our worry, the worry go down. The worries are going down. So the more advanced we become, the more we have control over our mind. So for the time being, we have to deal with our mind whatever way we can to keep it under control. But an advanced devotee who has love of God, Krishna prema, he has no problem with, they have no problem with his mind anymore, because his mind is always in love. He's always in love with Krishna. So for him, he's already liberated from the most material nature and all the desire that comes along with it. He is free. He has no problem. Like when we're conditioned by the material world and we are a spiritualist, we're looking for material benefits in exchange for our service. Or we're looking for liberating ourselves from the miseries of the material world. So we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're expecting that Krishna will take care of us physically and give our what we need. And then also we're expecting that by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll be able to get rid of all of our bad habits and our attraction for the material world. We're expecting that it's going to go away. It's going to go down. So we are expecting that. But Prabhupada said that these two things, liberation and material affluence or material comfort, are not the goal of devotional service. They may come along with devotional service, but they are not the goal of devotional service. They are byproducts of devotional service. Prabhupada said, a devotee, because Prabhupada is a pure devotee himself, so he's always going to talk about pure devotional service because that's part of himself. Like even right from the beginning in 1966, and on 26th Second Avenue, Prabhupada would preach to all these hippies, drug addicts that just came off the street. He would talk about pure love of God, Krishna prema. To these people, you know? And you're thinking, wow, oh, what is he talking? Like, why is he talking to these people about Krishna prema? Well, why not? Right? Like, Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He has Krishna prema, and he wants to talk about it. So he explained to people that Krishna prema, love of God, is higher than than a higher goal than seeing God as our order supplier. Like the Christian, God give us our daily bread, right? Or the yogis, they want liberation from the material world, so they worship the Paramatma or the Super Soul or God. They want freedom from material existence, but Prabhupada says there's something higher than that. This love of God is higher than these things. So that's the gift of Prabhupada, that because Prabhupada is a pure devotee and he has love of God, his true gift is his love of God. You know, we can get other things if we want, and we want other things because we're not very advanced, at least for myself. I'm not very advanced, so I expect other things. But Prabhupada explained that the highest goal of bhakti is pure love of God. So, and then he says that, what does it mean, pure love of God? It means we become intimate with the Supreme Lord. Like the other religion, they're not intimate with the Supreme Lord. They asked Krishna, please give me this, give me that. You know, I'm serving you, and I want this, I want that. So they're trying to use Krishna for themselves. But Prabhupada said, Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. He's a supreme controller. You cannot use Krishna in your service. You have to serve Krishna, right? So in the neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness, we're always looking for some benefit for ourselves. We want Krishna to serve us, you know. We want to make sure that we have everything that we want. Otherwise, we're in anxiety. Now we start to freak out, you know, like the money is not there or some things are not there. Then we start to judge Krishna. We start to doubt Krishna. We start to, you know, be shaken by this calamity, you know. But a pure devotee who is advanced is not subjected to these things. He's not motivated, unmotivated. You know, pure devotion is unmotivated. So like that. So we face that problem sometimes. Sometimes we don't know about it. Sometimes we don't know where we are in devotional life because we're not fully enlightened, so we have a dark side to ourselves. And Krishna may not want to show us that dark side right away because we might not be able to handle it. But in due course of time, Krishna, to help us, he will show us where we are at. Sometimes he will take things away from us, or he won't give us important things, or he'll act contrary to what he says, seemingly contrary to what he says in Bhagavad Gita. Like Krishna says, okay, if you do this, I'll do that for you. And sometimes he doesn't do it. And we're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Now, you're saying this, and you're not doing it, you know? And then we start doubting, you know, doubting Krishna. So, but those are, because we don't have that love of God yet, we don't have that precious gift of love of God, so we are on a lower stage. In a lower stage, we will have these things, these problems coming. But we have to persevere because we know what the goal is, and we know that Krishna is trying to help us, and so we have to surrender, you know, like we have to surrender to what he does to us. Sometimes we don't like it, but surrender means that you're going to stick with Krishna no matter what happens to you, all right? Like in Happiness or Distress, Prabhupada said that a devotee, if he suffers, he won't give up Krishna. I said, okay, I'm suffering, fine, I don't care. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you, and I'm not going to go anywhere else. Doesn't matter how much I suffer, I'll try to remain faithful to you and to go on like that. He makes a vow, you know. Sometimes you have to take help from other people. If you suffer a lot, you know, sometimes. It's not like we're always suffering. You know, sometimes we don't suffer. We're okay. But if we are suffering and we cannot understand, then we have to take shelter of other devotees till we can somehow or go through this difficult period, whatever. So, or sometimes what happens is we become unsure of our devotional service. We become uncertain about the quality of our service. And we sometimes become uncertain as to our path of action. We don't always know exactly what we're supposed to do all the time. You know, sometimes things happen and we have to readjust our lives, you know. And sometimes this period in between and we don't know exactly if we're doing the right thing. But the idea is that even if you don't know if you're doing the right thing, it doesn't matter. Because the right thing is devotional service. So if you devote yourself all the time, how can you not do the right thing? Like, even if you're not expert at making money, even if you're not an expert husband or expert wife, or even if you're not an expert father or an expert son or daughter, or even if you're not expert in anything, it doesn't really matter, because devotional life is what we're after. We're not after anything else. So in time of uncertainty and doubt, it's not very important. What's important is that we keep on serving Krishna. You know? And even if you think you're not serving Krishna properly, that doesn't matter either. Because by your sincere effort to try to serve Krishna properly, even though you're not doing it properly, Krishna takes the devotional side of your desire. He doesn't look at what you can do as results. He looks at your attitude of service. So, in this way, devotional service is never, we're never a loser if we engage in devotional service. Let's say you have no job, no money, no husband, no wife, no house, nothing. You can still chant Hare Krishna. And it's still the perfect activities to be done. There's nothing more important than chanting Hare Krishna. It's more important than making money. It's more important than being a husband or wife. It's more important than anything. It's the most perfect thing. To chant Hare Krishna is the most perfect thing. So if you take shelter of your spiritual side of your life, that will make up for the deficiency of your material side of your life. You know? Instead of complaining that, oh, I'm not together materially, that's okay, or let it be like that. Just me engage in devotional service and see what happens, right? Because sometimes you just don't know what to do. So then what else? What can you do? Serve Krishna. That's why Krishna says that when it described the sixth principle of surrender, like Krishna says, Savadharmam Praichaja, Mamekam Saranam Vrajra, Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo, Moksha Yashami Masuchaj. Just surrender unto me, I shall protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Right? And then in the purport, Prabhupada explained that the principle of surrender are sixfold. To accept everything favorable, to reject everything unfavorable for devotional life, to see Krishna as your only protector, and see Krishna as your only maintainer, and always cultivate humility and follow in the footsteps of the Acharya. So the principle of accepting Krishna as our only maintainer is part of the surrendering process, because Krishna is truly our only maintainer. Like, even if you have a job, you work and you maintain yourself through your job, well, the qualification you have for that job, Krishna gave them to you. And then Krishna told the boss to hire you. And he created the company where your boss worked also. So it's only Krishna that's maintaining us and maintaining everyone. It's not ourselves that we're maintaining ourselves. So in material existence, sometimes you're faced with maintaining yourself. How are you going to maintain yourself? But the idea is that if you chant, you try to chant Hare Krishna without offenses, then Krishna will maintain you automatically because you're engaged in His service. Prabhupada explained, if you work for your boss in the material world, he'll protect you. Your boss will protect you. He'll try to, you know, pay you and maintain you and make sure you're going to work for him. So if we're working for Krishna with sincerity, won't Krishna help us and protect us? Prabhupada said. So that's surrender means to understand that Krishna is fully qualified to protect us and to maintain us. That's the idea. And we become fearful and insecure when we think there's something superior to Krishna that's going to interfere. You know? That thing may be our own past karma or our lack of devotion, or it might be some reason we have in our head, oh, Krishna wants to purify me, therefore he's going to make me suffer, you know? And therefore we'll become afraid like that. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the friend of all living entities, so we should trust Krishna in his affection for us, that he's doing the right thing for us, even though sometimes it seems the opposite, like it seems like we're getting hurt, right? We're getting hurt emotionally, mentally, by what's happening into our life. And we think, well, I thought you're supposed to protect me, what's going on, you know? But Krishna's protection is different than the idea of protection we have. It's a different type of protection. The spiritual protection that will bring us gradually out of all material anxieties and material suffering. Okay, so I don't want to take all the time. Maybe if you have any questions so far or comments you want to bring in. Yeah. Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, we're meant to give Krishna pleasure, not to get pleasure from Krishna. We're meant to maintain Krishna. To, like Mother Yasoda, she's feeding Krishna, clothing Krishna, putting Krishna to bed, giving service to Krishna. She's not asking Krishna things. So love means you give to Krishna. You want to love him, you know. So it's an advanced stage. It's an advanced stage. But it's good to hear about it. Maybe one day we'll get there. So that's the idea. Any more questions? In the body, well, in the body, Well, one thing we know that they're more subtle than the gross body. The body we see made of earth, water, fire, air, and we occupy a space, right? Space of our body. And then higher than that is the mind and then the intelligence. So sometime what happened is the mind transcend the gross element of the material body. So like sometime you have dreams of things that are yet to come. You ever had any experience of that? You dream something, it happens later. Or you have clairvoyance, you can foresee the future. Because the mind is not limited by the gross element of the material body. Or, like Prabhupada said, you can be in India in a second, you know, in Krishna Bharaman, their temple room, you know, when you think about it. Because the mind is not restricted. So the mind is, sometime at night, the mind can leave the body also, you know. At the time of death, the mind is not contained by, is not controlled by the body. It goes away, you know. So I don't know where the mind is. The mind is not produced by the material elements of the body. The mind is not produced by the brain. The brain is not it doesn't produce the mind. The brain is an instrument to make this body function. It's like a battery, electrical battery, and the nervous system carries electricity all over your body, and then you can't when the brain is low in electromagnetic activities, you get depressed. You take magnesium pill, B12. So the brain is not the mind is not a product of the brain. It's different. So where the mind is in the body, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I know that the Mahabharata says, at a time of death, the consciousness takes refuge in the heart. It pulls away from the senses, and it takes shelter in the heart. And from there, it will leave the body from inside the heart. You know? Because our consciousness is spread all over our body. But at a time of death, when the body falls apart, the mind retracts all these activities and center itself in the heart. Take shelter in the heart. And then from there, I don't know, his next karma will take him away, you know. But the mind, although the mind is in the body, it's also not restricted by the body all the time, you know. It's like a subtle element. It's like you can say, we have a clock. Does the clock produce time? Is the time inside the clock? The time is inside, outside. The time is inside, it's outside the clock. The clock is only measuring the time. So the mind may be inside the body, but it's not, it's transcendental to the material body itself. So it's very mysterious, actually. The mind is very mysterious. Very powerful, very strange, very mysterious. That's why yoga practice means to control the mind. Because the mind, like I said, is the reservoir of all impression of our past life. It's where our attraction is situated, our thinking, feeling, willing. So yoga means to really get the mind under control. That means controlling your emotions also. Controlling your mind, your emotions, your feelings. Everything has to be controlled. If you let go of your emotion, what's going to happen? You know, many things can happen, you know. So controlling the mind means controlling a lot of things. And control of the mind is central to any form of yoga. Sankhya yoga, Hatha yoga, Bhakti yoga, Bodhi yoga. Control the mind with our superior intelligence. But to try to explain the mind is very difficult. You know, where it is, where it's situated, how it leaves the body, where it goes, you know. It goes into another another form, also the mind will go into another body, another womb, get another form. So the mind, okay. Anybody knows where the mind is? In the heart? Inside the heart, like the pump? Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Because the soul is in the heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a window. Marco? Thinking, feeling, willing. Okay. And the heart. Yeah, I think that's what Prabhupada says, in the heart. Okay, so we'll stop here. The next part of the program, bhajans. The mind has power over the whole body at once, right? When we have an emotion, it takes over the whole body. And the mind, that means the mind is everywhere in the body, has its dominion over the body. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Haribo, all glories to Prabhupada.